Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Welcome back. This is the season finale. Charlie Christian's solo at Minton's Playhouse, May of 1941. We've now made it to the bridge of the third chorus. And this is the third and final chorus, and the final and my personal favorite bridge. Although all of the bridges are great, this one is more great than the others, even, I think. And then the solo wraps up, and he ties it up with a bow. And that's it. So let's get right into it. Let's see. Let's do our little review here. That is too slow. Starts. So the last phrase that we had learned was, that's where okay, just those two bars right there, that's kind of something just weird is going on right there. But double bip, it's not exactly like, you know, probably how I wrote it on the transcription is probably not quite accurate, you know, because it's not really, it doesn't feel so metric, like eighth notes and stuff. You know, but it's kind of basically like eighth notes, but they're kind of lazy. Now, the finger I'm using, one, two, three. This is sort of like when, on the first bridge, when it goes, right here. So. So this one's, it's used in a different way, you know, it's in a different place rhythmically, and he does this a lot in really slick ways. So we got, and then what happens after that? So I go 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Or you can go 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 3, 3, 1, 3, 3. I don't know which one it would be. I feel like 2, 3 is better. My second finger's already there. From the, having to just hit the B flat. Yeah. Then he does something kind of like this. Right. It's very hard to hear. It could just be, but I kind of like, I feel like there's something in there. Check it out. If we put it slow. Oops. Right there. I feel like there's something like that. It's not just... So anyway, what I'm going to play and what I have written there in the transcription is... And then does something like that, right? So we recognize that, right? This is like the beginning of the other bridge. Except that one was like... 1, 2, 3. This is in a different spot. As it comes on the downbeat, whereas in the other one it came on 4. 1, 2, 3. This one it comes. yeah. So that's on 1. Okay, so that's what we have now. That's where it's gonna go, but this is the phrase. This next phrase is my favorite phrase of the whole solo. And it's still like a mystery to me how somebody could come up with this. It feels to me like something the drums would play. And it's actually this phrase that got me into that whole thing of playing with drum rudiments, which I did a series on before, like doing stuff with the pick, you know, flams. And all these patterns. As well as the more basic rudiments like paradiddles. And stuff like that. Just in terms of reversing the pick and being able to do things like that. But it was this phrase that got me thinking about that a long time ago. We know that Charlie Christian and Kenny Clarke were great friends, and Kenny Clarke is on this recording, and we know Kenny Clarke to be foundational drummer in the language of so-called bebop and music of that era. In fact, Kenny Clarke claims in some story that I read that Charlie Christian showed him Epistrophe while he was messing around with the ukulele. And actually, I checked this out. Sorry, this is going off the topic here, but somebody had a ukulele lying around, and I was like, "Well, let me see if that works." And some, the tuning, when you do it, on the bottom strings of the ukulele, you play 1, 2, 3, 4, just like that, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it does make that melody. It's not in that key, but it's that those intervals. So anyway, back to this phrase. This to me feels like something a drummer would play. Now, I'll just play it, and let's maybe I can get a good loop here. Let's see. Let me get it. See if I can get a better loop. Something like that. I'm going to slow it down a lot. Okay, so what's going on here? There's a basic phrase, and then there are little flams is the way I'm thinking of them, but like, I don't know what, little hammer-ons, I guess we would call them. But to me, they really sound like flams, so I'm going to demonstrate that, actually, I think. So your basic phrase is, this is without the flams. So that's how it starts. Okay. Now the bottom two notes reverse direction. I got some mysterious reverb on here. Let me turn that off. Right? Then they reverse. Instead of going A to G sharp, they go G sharp, A. That's the next phrase. That almost sounds like, now that I think about it. Right? That's the second. I think of this as being kind of two things, like, as being one thing. And then, because those are kind of going up, you know what I mean? Like up from the G sharp to the A. And then again, you know, with different notes on the outside. Okay, so then the A's have little flams on them, so they go. So you have flams, you have three of them. This one, then you have this one. Then these are regular notes. And then you have one there. Okay, see if you can hear that. I'll play where the flams are. Hard to repeat that over and over. So I'm going to show you what I mean by a drummer's phrase. If I take some drumsticks, I have a practice pad here actually. So the way that I hear this is like, so this is like a flam to the right, and then left, right. And that thing again, twice. And then two lefts, and then a right, and then a flam right. So it's like this, but it's. boom, boom, bit, rap, and then right, left, right, left, left, right. So. Right, so on the drums, the actual drums, it would sound like, I apologize for my bad technique, speaking of technique, but, you know, something like slow would be like, tempo on the drums, but I can do it on guitar. But anyway, that's kind of the feeling I was getting from that phrase. And I think it's just a really amazing phrase to come up with in the heat of the moment there. I mean, think about that. Now listen to it in the context of, like, you know, the flow. So... E. So, I mean, what a wild, you know. So he's coming here. One, two. Right? And then he continues. Okay, this sounds familiar. Interesting, right? Again, I'm pretty sure this is where he would play it on the guitar, because it's this same thing again that we heard here at the beginning of the bridge, of the first bridge. One, two, one, two, one, two. Right, and then we heard it just on this one, on this same bridge earlier, when it was on the downbeat. Right, so then it comes. So it's... That's wild. So the first time he had it on four, first time he played this thing, this shape, he had it on, he was coming in on four. And then the next time, which I don't know if he played it in the second bridge or not, I have to go back and check, but this time it came in on the downbeat, but now he's bringing it on the like an upbeat. One, two, three, bo, bo, bo. One, and it's on the end of one. One, two, three. And he's got to put an extra note in there because that's also shifted. So check this out. This is crazy. Probably should have figured out what to say before I started this whole thing, but I like the feeling of kind of rediscovering it on the fly. So, okay, so that's the bridge, right? So what's happening in the rest of that line? Well, when he comes here, obviously that's the E7. Now, the one and two and three and four and... So he comes in the G natural on four, like he did when he went... Mm-hmm. that's on four also when he goes when he comes to the that's on the first bridge, right? So he's again moving on four here. Gets that G natural out, which is in like when the A7 is happening, right? So now, before he had played at the end of the bridge, you know, just right on the beat. Now he goes. So it's like an eighth note ahead of where he had put it before, which is wild. It's wild to be rephrasing, and he did it with the other thing too. So maybe it's all connected in some kind of way that kind of offsets it all by one eighth note, which is it's wild because it's like turned around on the beat, you know. So what does he do? He puts in an extra note. Because before he went, and now he goes. Before he went straight from the A flat up to the D flat, right there. Now he goes, and he doesn't go to the D flat, he goes to a B flat. What a wild thing to do. So good. Okay, that's check out the bridge now. Let's listen. Right? I'll play it along with that. Just a little bit slow. Give me a little more pre-roll. Faster. I missed that part up. Okay. Full speed. But, you know, pretty close. All right, so how does he wrap it up? Oof, boy, so after all that business. Okay, bup, 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 bup. Ooh, there's something different about that one, right? So he comes. And he's right here pretty clearly. Sixth fret on the guitar. So he hits it a few more times. But what's up with that one? Did you hear how Kenny Clark hits it? Wow, what? I never noticed that before. That is so crazy. Listen to the snare. That is crazy. That's amazing. So this is what I think he's doing. He's just doing another false fingering. Before we had done this one, remember? That thing, but now he's here. And that's why you hear that slide, because he can't reach it, really. At the same time, you got to slide up to it. And then he does it. He likes the sound of it. He does it three more times, or two more times. So after he does that, okay, and then they just pretty simple little ending, you know. I think that's just straight up the triad there, right? There's no little. Yeah. Straight up the triad. There's a little. I feel like there's a little. He's putting a little stuff on that. On that A flat there. Okay, so back up the triad again, and he gives the C flat a little extra. Wow. So check out that last half of chorus here. Is it. That's the end of the solo. So I hope you enjoyed this series. You know, it's a little more work to prepare episodes like this. You know, I have to really, really do some homework and make sure that I'm not, getting things wrong in terms of, like, recorded music and all that. But I think they're very, you could come back to these ones again and get some more stuff out of them, or just go back to the solo with some, you know, now with some ideas of how to approach it. And I don't know, this has given me so many, this particular solo has just given me so many ideas about how to play the guitar. There's so much in it, from this whole thing about shapes and how shapes work and how to project a rhythmic feel through playing. I think that's one of the things that is really important to me. I want to be able to sound like I have the rhythm section in my playing. You know, I would like to be able to project that. That's what Barney Kessel was mentioning in that interview. You could hear the beat in his playing. You could really hear it. It didn't even matter if there was a rhythm section there. So, I think that this solo is just so such a prime example of that. Even especially it's live. You know, so it's a little different than the stuff you hear with Benny Goodman, which is more sort of it's in the context of a larger group and he has a little spot to do something, but here it's loose and it's real spontaneous composition. So hope you dug it. I know it's a bit long, but close reading takes some time, and I think that it's worth it. You know, I think it's worth it. I'd rather know a few things really well than know a lot of things only on the surface. So, until next time, take care. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee, And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.